This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 14th of June, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Wednesday, and finally, we have another on the clock Guardian Radio AM mashup, Man Down Wednesday. We've had a lot of interviews this week, a lot of sort of special topics. And so today, I think we're going to take a delve into the newspapers. A number of articles. If you want to join this conversation, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the titles of some of the articles that we're going to be discussing, and then I'm going to get into the Sand Dollar giveaway question. So we're going to be looking at these articles. Government budget, $64 million for consultants. That's the 5th of June in The Guardian. Mitchell, $150,000 capital grant inadequate for MPs. That's the 8th of June in The Guardian. PM, my travels are paying off. 8th of June in The Guardian. MP, we need a bank on Andrus now. 13th of June. Man, 26, accused of sexually molesting underage son of family friend. Guardian, 13th of June. We must find solutions for Haiti, the 12th of June. Mr. Newry, Clint Watson to leave OPM for new role at Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. Hotel support increase in NIB. Those two stories are from the Nassau Tribune. And a National Public Service Scholars Program to be tabled soon. Some stories I found that were fascinating, and I think they need a second dive in. Now, remember, though, before we get the show started, today, Wednesday the 14th, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Super Value in the Top of the Hill Shopping Plaza, Mackey Street. And at the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza on Friday of this week, the 16th, and Saturday of this week, the 17th. Show your sand dollar, enable digital wallet at the door and receive $200. Spend $18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. Remember, the giveaway is limited to the first 100 customers with enabled Sand Dollar wallets per day, and you are limited to one top-up for the duration of the giveaway. And Mr. Newry, every day for the next 4 months, we'll be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in sand dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address or custom name to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. I had a texter who won yesterday, but I think I transposed the information incorrectly. A texter with the last four digits, I think 1065 or 1064, you're a regular texter. Please text back and give me that information again. Here is the question for today. Which country produces the most tamarind? Which country produces the most tamarind? These answers can be found very easily by Googling the question. Remember, if you play the game via text, I'm requiring you to share your contact information. Or that's somebody who's ready to play the game. If you're playing by text, you need to text your wallet information, your cell phone number attached to your wallet, and your custom name. Again, the question is, which country produces the most tamarind? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and for people in the Bahamas but not in New Providence, toll-free number, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. And Mr. Newry, before we get started, I want to put out a little plea. I'm looking for Bahama Games influencers. I already met Sawyer Boy, Bear, from the Long Island Sheep Runners. I need y'all to call in and tell us about your team. Team influencers for the Bahama Games teams. All right, Mr. Newry. Of all of the subjects on the table, which one you want to talk about first?
You mean have a choice?
Yes. It's a man down Wednesday, but that don't mean I can keep you down.
Okay. No, mind you, and I see you already have callers on the phone. I'm sure there'll be somebody who's calling to win some things. So let's do that first. And I want to talk about the budget, right, loosely. Because, you know, we have persons who analyze the budget. But one aspect of the budget I want to comment on, it's particularly because I came across a commentary that I would like you to read into the record. And then we discuss the commentary.
Okay.
And it's about the increase in the members of parliament, $100,000 community.
Right.
So I want to discuss that.
Okay, awesome. I got the story here. Mitchell, $150,000 capital grant inadequate for MPs. That's the Guardian, the 8th of June, 2023. That was a very interesting story for real. The government is raising the constituency's capital grant in the upcoming fiscal year from $100,000 per constituency to $150,000 per constituency. But even that is inadequate to meet the tremendous demands placed on MPs to carry out infrastructure projects and meet requests for social assistance from constituents, Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell said yesterday. Mitchell said if it were left up to him, the grant would be raised to $1 million as there is a need to, quote, empower incumbents in their work. Close quotes.
And what I sent you something just now for in your WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. I want you to read that. Let me put a mic closer to me. Juxtaposed to that article so we can now have a discussion based on the two parallel positions.
Okay, awesome. There? I got it.
Just don't read the author's title at the end. Just
Don't read the name of the person who sent it. Okay, no problem. Too many cooks. With all due respect, it is a specious argument to suggest that MPs' constituency allowances and or capital allocations should be raised in order to better address constituents' requests for social assistance. Members of Parliament are to represent the interests of their constituents in the House of Assembly and to advocate on their behalf. MPs should not attempt to or be expected to fill the role of the Ministry of Social Services. This not only raises unreasonable expectations of MPs, but also places them at undue risk. Re-allegations of political bias in the disbursement of social assistance to constituents. It could also weaken the accountability of the Ministry of Social Services due to a potential overlap in roles. When one body is responsible for a particular function, there is no doubt as to who is accountable. But things become less certain when multiple bodies are charged with similar duties. There is also another danger, re-accountability. How do we ensure that we hold our members of parliament accountable for the things for which they should be held accountable if our expectations are focused on MPs performing a role that they should not be expected to perform. If the need for social assistance is so great in various constituencies as to prompt the consideration of additional funding for MPs, then perhaps we first need to address whether or not the ministry is sufficiently resourced in terms of both qualified personnel and funding to properly meet its mandate.
And I wanted to start the conversation from there.
Yeah.
Have they declared MPs, members of parliament, their income as yet, which is due on March 30th, the end of March?
Well, there has been no definitive statement from those responsible for the public disclosures procedures on the number of MPs and the number of MPs who have disclosed and the names of those who haven't disclosed.
Currently, the member of parliament gets $100,000 to do whatever they need to do inside the communities. Have you ever seen tabled a report detailing what the money has been spent on?
No.
I'm not sure even if that exists.
I've never heard an MP reference the existence of a report, the intention to create such a report, or the tabling or public discussion on any said reports.
Do you know where the $100,000 is deposited?
No.
It is deposited into the MP's personal account.
That is not true.
No, I'm saying it's deposited.
That can't be true.
I'm saying
let me tell you
the MP's personal account.
Let me tell you why it can't be true.
Go ahead.
Because the people who are responsible for the public disclosure committee and its procedures speak to us in a way that suggests that sometimes we get into nosy. Like, sometimes we get beyond ourselves and we want to know what politicians make. But if it is true that the constituency allowance or the funds that are given to a constituency for its operation, right, either it's capital grants or the operation of the constituency office are deposited in the MP's personal account, is the MP required to create a separate and singular personal account solely dedicated to the receiving of these funds?
Even if that is true, the latter.
Yeah.
It's still their personal account because it's in their name.
Absolutely.
To be used at whim for whatever they choose. I want to put this on the record. Mm-hmm. Do you remember a prime minister or a leader of an opposition who received the $100,000 but never spent it, just kept it? Was growing it, interest.
It's definitely one of them. Was it Ingram?
No, it was Barry Christie. Ingram.
Oh, right.
Ingram. For the entire 5 years.
Let's sit on that for a second.
The entire 5 years.
Yeah, let's sit on that for a second. Like, Christie sat on it. And let's go to this phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for calling.
You got to give the country...
Yeah, the name of the country that produces the most tamarind.
I believe it's China.
No, China is not the answer that Google gave me. But you are free to call back in again if you think you have the correct answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, to my texters, China is not the correct answer.
Well, I definitely assume that it's inside the Eastern district.
Right, like
country.
Somewhere it is of the world, you mean?
Of the world, yeah. World. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I'm sure, not say the country. Eastern district of the world. Yeah.
No, because Fox Hill was the tamarind capital of the Bahamas.
We have a lot of tamarind in Dili. We might be the Dili capital.
But Fox Hill is not the tamarind capital of the Bahamas.
No?
No.
There's other islands have more tamarind?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Ragged Island have a big secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's, let's get back to the story, Mitchell, $150,000 capital grant inadequate for MPs. See, what concerned me initially was that quote, to empower incumbents in their work. See, because the constituency grant has a lot of rules attached to it, right? And the law prohibits MPs from using any portion of the grant for any political meeting or forum, any fundraising activity for any political party, or the payment, maintenance, upkeep, salaries, and other expenses in respect to the constituency office, right?
But it can be used for that, you mean?
No, it says you cannot. It prohibits MPs from using any portion of the grant for any political meeting or forum, any fundraising activity for any political party, or the payment upkeep. That's the capital grant. That's $100,000, $150,000. Mm-hmm. Why would Fred Mitchell use the word incumbent if the funds are not to be used for any political activities? Right? It just suggests to me that he, in this conversation, he hasn't decided how to locate himself, right? Is he speaking as the Minister for Foreign Affairs? Is he speaking as the MP for Fox Hill? Or is he speaking as the chairman of the PLP party?
I'm quick to say that Mr. Mitchell does a wonderful job in Fox Hill in terms of using the finances to empower people there.
Yeah.
But my question is that his job as a member of parliament?
Right, but this is it.
And I know of people who have gone to the office looking for jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? And said, I'm here to see my member of parliament and I want him to write me a reference letter, or I want him to give me a contract. I want him to give me funds to empower myself.
Right, but
I'm uneasy with that.
A reference letter is different from funds to empower myself. But he's supposed to know people.
But I can understand a reference letter to those who campaigned for him. So, well, I know this gentleman personally because he campaigned for me. But not to say I'm a constituent of this of the MP, and therefore I am deserving of a reference letter when I do not know you.
But what if an MP is supposed to know, to a certain degree, its constituents? What if... I'm saying...
30,000-40,000 of them?
I'm going to go to Mitchell and I'm going to say, or to his office, I'm going to say, I need a reference letter. I'm going to say, I'm going to give you some references of people you could check with to say, okay, this person, we've consulted with people in the community and this person is a stand-up person. I don't have a problem with the reference letter. I have a problem with give me a contract, and I have a problem with give me some money.
Well, what's wrong with a contract? You don't think if I campaign, I deserve a contract?
No.
And that's what $100,000 for?
No.
It's not for that?
No, it's not for if I campaign, I deserve a contract.
Who's supposed to get the contract then?
The most qualified people in the constituency, and that should be determined through a process that the minister may have a hand in creating, designing the process, but he's not in control of the process.
You ever heard of what any process existing? See, there you go. And I think this needs to be analyzed. Mind you,
yes.
I can appreciate the fact that more money can help the community, but the reasoning...
But this is what I'm saying. From you tell me to empower incumbents in their work, I'm going to tell you no. When you go on, right, and you say things like, members of parliament, this is, I'm quoting Fred Mitchell here from the article. Well, let's stick a pin before I get to the quote. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
I believe I have the answer to your question.
I am ready. Which country produces the most tamarind?
India?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You got the correct answer, ma'am. Please, you gave the producer all of your information?
For the most part.
Okay, well.
I have my card, but what the wallet, I was given him the number as opposed to the wallet address.
Okay, don't.
It's on cash card.
Okay, here's what to do. Go back, don't hang up, go back to the producer. I just need to know this, the number that you gave him, the cell phone number, that is the number that you created your Suncash account with, right?
That is correct.
Okay, that's fine. We good. But still, go back to the producer, and if you have your custom name or wallet address, give it to him. If not, we're good. Just make sure he has your name, and you're the winner. And as soon as I get your information after the show, I'm going to transfer you your $30 in sand dollars.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
If you have enough time, maybe you could catch the Super Value giveaway, or you could wait until Friday and Saturday for the Prince Charles giveaway. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Are we able to get that next caller on the next line, or wait till you finish there?
Well?
No, hold on for the producer. I'm sorry. And yeah. I'll try to get the next call. Okay, now let's get that next call. Press that. Yeah, press that.
All right. No, I don't know what I'm doing. There we go. Don't watch nothing.
No, never watch nothing. Just call back.
Yeah.
You go press all the buttons.
No, I didn't.
All the people go on now.
I'm pressing your buttons today, not them buttons over there. Okay.
Let's let Kermit do that.
Right. So let me get back to this quote from Mr. Mitchell, right? Mitchell added, members of parliament have a very important job to do in trying to keep the government connected to the people who they govern. The point that you were making. But all and the author of the editorial was making. But also in making sure that the peace is kept in their communities and also making sure that the infrastructure in their communities is up to standard and up to scratch. This is the best part of the quote. And the citizens of the country, in terms of the level of public education, see no distinction, it appears, between public monies and your own personal monies. The law apparently doesn't see a distinction between public monies and your own personal money, sir, if you, having been in the House of Assembly for 31 years, could not figure out a more effective way to disperse government funds to MPs. He says this, the attitude is that the MP can go in their pocket and fix it. But that's not the case. Most of us are men and women of ordinary means, and you have to apply yourself in the judicious use of public funds to meet the greater demands of the Bahamian public. I see that caller on the line. Caller, I come in right now. Does Mr. Fred Mitchell think that we think that he is a man of ordinary means?
You're trying to say Mr. Mitchell is not a man of ordinary means? You're trying to say he's wealthy?
I wasn't trying to say it.
Do you think he has real money? He lives a modest life, man. You don't think he lives a modest life?
I think he may live a modest life relative to those he aspires to live like. But I think a lot of us, a lot of people, not just us generally, but people in the political class, they need a little spatial awareness. You could imagine MPs suggesting to the average Bahamian that we are just ordinary people like you too.
But surely they are just ordinary people. Our MPs are
I mean,
rich.
They're born ordinary.
They aren't rich. What benefits do MPs
They go have? To the House of Assembly ordinary, but a lot of them come out of the House of Assembly as extraordinary.
They only make $23,000, $25,000 a year. That's chicken feed, man.
Listen, what I could tell you is this before I go to the caller, is if I had a properly functioning public disclosures commission, that I could be able to make these determinations with far more certainty. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Friend Grant.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nuri.
Inshallah. Blessings to you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Before I go there, I thought you would care being I didn't produce the most stammering.
That's a good question.
Stammering. And by asking you now, what care being
I I don't know. The Googles is not concerned about the lived experiences of Caribbean people.
Well, where we should get those sweet big tambourines from?
You mean in New Providence or the ones in the food store?
No, they're not New Providence. I never eat those kind of tambourines. I know my tambourines.
You mean the ones in the food?
Big and sweet, but all the sweet, swelly, they're big.
Yeah.
And they're fat.
Yeah, the ones that are imported into the country.
Yeah, of course.
Though that product is a Thailand-based product.
Oh, I thought that's somewhere in the Caribbean. But anyway, my point is, I hear the minister of broadcasting talk about, and it didn't make no sense to me, why Clint Watson suddenly moved from the prime minister office, suddenly was placed in the management post at Zelenes, when my good friend Andrew Burrows, you know Andrew Burrows, right?
Yep.
Was doing a done good job transforming Zelenes into a type of 21st century station. And I'm wondering, why did Gerald Mandelin and put in Clint there? I want a minister to come clean with that.
You don't think they're being honest about the reason for the transfer?
They didn't say it. He said it. Can't you say? Minister say.
Mm-hmm.
Try to say why Clint is there.
What did the minister say? What did the minister... Yeah.
Did you see it in the papers? Right there? I don't have your notes on me, but I know you made a statement.
I saw it. Okay, I can read the article I found from yesterday in the Nassau Tribune. Clint Watson.
Yeah, you can read it when I finish, but I'd like to know where Andrew going. I'd like to know if the chairman and Andrew didn't get along and Andrew had to go, according to my source.
That's what your source is telling you?
Yes.
And that doesn't line up with what the minister responsible.
I don't like my constitutional freedom of expression.
No, no, I ain't challenging you. I'm just asking you.
You said doesn't line up.
Why you want to pick a fight on
no,
my radio? You know what they call this pumpkin eater?
Then the public don't care. You're gonna call after me.
A pumpkin eater. You know what they call that? I think they call that a proxy war. I gotta go now.
Yep.
Listen, I don't want to talk about it. I mean, I want to talk about it, you know, but I don't want to talk about that part because I think that's divisive and it's not helpful. If you want to, let's have some interrogative questions. Andrew Burrows, during his time at ZNS, did he get rid of the beige computers? Did he get rid of the beige computers?
Is that in the budget? It could be like the central bank when the government just canceled the construction. We ain't getting no new computers. Keep them computers right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions to be asked. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
How are you doing?
Listen, Aaron, that Clint Watson thing is kind of itchy for me because I feel like it, because he is right now serving as a personal assistant to the prime minister, or whatever you call that, whatever he does.
The official title is press secretary.
Yes, but he does it for a specific party, a specific.
Oh, yeah,
prime
it's
minister.
An appointment. It's an appointment.
Thank you. So, what would that look like now, transitioning him as the general manager of the government run radio station?
Yeah.
That don't smell right. You understand?
There's so
much things in there. Come on.
I think that smell is the beige computers burning up in the heat.
Even worse than that, it smells like those IBM computers.
Ma'am, this is, like
those
I say...
Those big old building computers. It's ridiculous, and I don't think the minister, LaRota, he's making it seem like it's no big deal. I want to say are in touch with the way the Bahamians think.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to realize that the way we think, we're going to see that as fishy as possible. Because first, you'll come in, you'll strip all the media houses of some of their best.
Well, listen, let's stick a pin right there, because that's the thing that interests me most about this story. And that's my entry point for the interrogation of the value or validity, right, of the decision to send the, I guess now, former press secretary to act as general manager of ZNS. I am gravely concerned, and I'll say it, this government, one of its best successes so far has been destroying the local media. And you're going to do it on the grounds of saying that a professional, properly functioning government needs a professional, properly functioning media. But the media that doesn't operate, you know, they don't operate in isolation. You can't take the government can take the media and separate it from the rest of the media. I think that not only do we need to collectively address the breaking down of the private sector media, but we need to talk about then what it means to take the best out of the public sector and then out of the private sector and then put them in the government service. What does it mean for the people who are left to interrogate? Can't leave me because I can't even make the proper grammar constructions. Who are left to make a proper interrogation of what it is the government is doing?
Exactly. That's my point.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm very curious and I really feel some type of way about it.
And I really hope that, I know it's too late now because he's supposed to be taking his place on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's, I don't know what they're doing there in this government, but it feels like they are trying to strategically place people that's going to make them look as good as they can for as long as they can possibly have that.
Yeah.
You understand me? And I feel like somebody like Clint Watson, who has proven himself to be one-sided for a minute now, I don't think he should be placed in that position because he is going to scrutinize anything. I guess you'll now hear nothing from the FNM and nobody else. You're and the other media houses, next, you know, he's trying to find a way to deal with some of them who was unfair to his government and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. If somebody needs to speak to Mr. LaRuda and whoever else is in charge of doing this and tell them from the behemoth standpoint, or do me a favor, Aaron, what you call the thing when you have people say who like it or who don't.
Okay.
A survey.
Yeah, I got you.
Do a survey.
Thank you much, eh? I got to go. And Cecil itching to say something.
Yeah.
I believe the caller's commentary is worthy of analyzation.
Yeah.
And after these callers that we go through quickly, let's analyze that. What is the intent of Clint Watson? What can he bring to the table? How do we see Zedness? How will Zedness be improved upon?
And what are the mechanisms that will be used to ensure or to minimize conflict of interest?
Yes.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi. Pleasant good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
So you got Cecil and that with you?
Yes, it's a mashup today.
Good morning, Cecil.
Hey, man.
Good morning to the nation. I just tuned in just for clarity a few minutes ago. Caught the last caller comment, which cautioned me and prompted me to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it would be reckless to leave that level of commentary on the open air without challenge. First and foremost, Clint Watson is a journalist by profession, right? He's a media personality, and he was very effective in setting up and executing because I was one of those in the public who monitored what he was doing when he was a director at Eyewitness.
Okay, can I be bold enough to say that we're not questioning his qualifications as a journalist or as a member of the media?
No, well,
we're concerned about the possible conflicts that arise because of his location in a political party.
But my commentary would be prefaced by what I started out explaining about him, right?
Uh-huh.
And in his role at Eyewitness News, he was very effective with seeking the whole anyone accountable,
uh-huh,
right? No matter what the situation, his roles would have switched as a professional when he joined the ranks as the press secretary for
mm-hmm
the prime minister,
mm-hmm,
in the office of the prime minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so his roles would have switched from one side of the spectrum to a completely different side of the spectrum, but he still conducted himself, in my objective viewpoint, professionally, right? And with the greatest degree of accountability, right? And
mm-hmm.
So, considering what he has accomplished in his role as press secretary and in his former role as director of news at Eyewitness News and in his role again at Dead & F when he was there, he is eminently positioned. He's eminently qualified. He's proven himself to be an effective leader, right? And so I don't see anything wrong, absolutely anything, and the caller did not identify one relevant point that could point to any concerns
or
challenges.
Let's talk about it then. Let me point to some things and see if you think that they're concerning.
Okay.
I think that while Clint Watson was the press secretary for the Davis administration, right,
uh-huh,
in the 2021 administration, right,
right,
I think that he should have stepped aside and told the prime minister that his musical gospel group should not be considered to travel to Dubai because he is in the employ of the government. I think that that is a conflict of interest, and I think that he did not, he may have acknowledged it as a conflict of interest, but that he did not step aside and say that we should not do this. This jeopardizes the integrity of this administration. I think that that is perhaps an example or a snapshot. It suggests to me that maybe Mr. Watson is unable to identify conflicts of interest and certainly unable to manage them effectively.
Can I respond to that, Aaron?
Sure.
Okay, from my perspective, and I'm speaking totally objectively here, and this is a part of the problem that's a deeper problem in our country. My response that I'm going to give to your observation or your analysis just now, Aaron, first and foremost, Clint Watson does not sit in the cabinet. The cabinet is the only position in this country that prohibits an individual from applying or seeking to participate in any specific government role.
So you don't think, I got you, good point.
Right.
No, that's a good point.
Okay, okay.
It's a good point, but we have a national choir.
Uh-huh.
We have a national choir.
Okay.
Why is it that the national choir wasn't chosen or enabled or facilitated or funded to participate in that event?
Now, Aaron, you just introduced a completely different aspect to the conversation.
No, it's not a completely different aspect. Why would somebody who is in the government's employ as an appointee accept that role, that function, right?
When there is a national
institution who should be filling that function?
Just give me an opportunity to respond to that point because you actually shifted lanes there and I want to follow with you. That point that you just brought up as it relates to the national choir is a point that I could support because that's a completely different perspective now that you're bringing to the table. We do have a national choir in the Bahamas. They are world-renowned. They are well-traveled. And I believe that if an opportunity at an international event is occurring, then we ought to look at persons who operate and represent the country at national levels to participate. But it still brings me back to the point, Aaron, that Clint Watson leads a gospel group. And not because he leads a gospel group and he's the press secretary, should that disqualify those individuals who are also reputable and world-renowned, who are also highly respected throughout the region, who have also paid the price to put themselves on the line to show themselves worthy of national acclaim. It does not disqualify them in any way, shape, or form, Aaron, from being selected to perform. And the government of the Bahamas, if my mind serves me correct, and I know it does, they would have chosen a wide array of Bahamian artists who has proven themselves locally, regionally.
Did the National Youth Choir go?
That, I spoke to that. I'm saying to you, Aaron,
I
agree that they should have
been.
Right.
I know. Listen, I got to go. I got another caller. I'm glad that we had the exchange. I don't have a problem offering you a space to, you know, put a different perspective on the table. I'm going to say this, though. I think y'all take me and the Westminster system for a goon. Like, there's this illusion, this play. You want us to respect the Westminster system when it suits your political agenda. But when it doesn't, we don't have to be governed by that. We have the authority to do what we want. You got to get it straight. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Guardian Radio AM, man down, mashup. I can't forget my co-host. Morning, caller. You still there? I apologize. I needed to give the caller the space to respond to a very heavy critique.
So many things to comment on, right? But I'll put this on the record. Is the National Choir the National Choir? Or just has the word national in front of it?
No, the National Youth Choir is National Youth Choir.
So that means government facilitates them in terms of travel.
It's supposed to.
But they don't, because it's a private choir.
Not that National Youth Choir.
No, it's a private choir.
Not that.
It's not owned by government or managed by a government agency or for...
Not Ministry of Culture?
None. No, it's a private choir. It's just called the National Choir, similar to the National... Children's Choir. It's the term national is just adopted by the private choir, owned and operated by individuals, and not a ministry to say, well, this is a Ministry of Culture and we have a choir branch of our ministry.
That so you mean we got a whole Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture? Nobody has set up rules or a space to govern the licensing of things, the choosing of names. Like, I could just decide that I can register the Andrews Crab Fest under my own name, and then ain't nobody could do anything called Crab Fest again?
I could just license
the Saxons as my own?
You can't incorporate the word national. Anyone can name their place national. Yeah.
If we were a real country, then surely there would be a requirement before you could just name your thing national.
You know, there's a Grand Bahama Choir too. They consider themselves as national. Just put the word national in front of it. It's not something mandated by government. And this is why there always tend to be uproar saying, why can the national choir, the national youth choir, finance themselves in terms of getting government support? Because it's government giving them a donation. That's it.
So why the government rely on them so much?
No, they hire them. They come and they put their bill through and the government pays.
So the same, this isn't a real country with real systems and real cultures and real spaces of industry. We just do whatever and sign a check because we need to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But I wanted to interrogate Clint Watson. I see we don't have a call at the present time, right? I'm not sure what political persuasion Clint Watson supports.
It doesn't matter because he is a PLP appointee.
Yes, and I'm going to get to there, right?
Yeah.
I know when he was at the Eyewitness News, he did a yeoman job critiquing the then government, which was the FNM.
Right, the Minister's Administration.
Right? And coincidentally, for his gallant efforts of doing an awesome job at the Eyewitness News, the government decided to employ him. Some people might say award him for his efforts.
You mean like Super Grover?
Yes.
I mean the same consideration.
Yeah, consideration.
Yeah, yeah.
I caught it. That's why I say yes, right? So, and I see we go into a commercial break. It's already 45. But my concern is, will that gravitate from the press secretary to ZNS and use the ZNS platform as a machinery for this administration? I'm a little uneasy and concerned, and it should be something to watch, right? Because we saw how Eyewitness News show was done.
I want to respond to that, but we go into the break. Thank you, producer. You guys stay tuned. On the other side of the break, we're going to dive right back into that conversation. You're on the clock Guardian Radio AM Wednesday mashup, man down discourse, dive into the newspaper. We'll be right back.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
It's that time again!
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter Red Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, taking place July 24 to the 30th at the Hope Center and the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Call 601-4842 for more information. Powered by the Bryce Nubo Foundation.
It's game time!
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
The Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Wilton Street off Mackey Street, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on June 12th. 2023 for a total of 6 weeks to perform new main installation on Wilton Street. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Thank you.
morning and welcome back to On the Clock, Guardian Radio AM mashup. Dear texter from yesterday, please text back so that we can connect. I got some Clint Watson texts here. Let me get the texters in. When someone is promoted like Clint Watson, it's a hard one. Anyway, people are distrustful of the manner in which Watson has entered the political realm, even though he is not a politician. Another text, that's the problem, Anton. He held one government accountable, then appointed. He was appointed as press secretary. Right, we weren't able to see him function as a journalist with another party in power. Right? So he did a great job of interrogating one government. That he was appointed to the then new government, who was in opposition at the time of his rigorous interrogation, it leaves us, the people, no room to judge whether he has functioned as an unbiased media personality. Another text, I personally believe Clint was strategically put back at ZNS so that he could help. He would be in a position ahead of elections and every possible conflict would have ironed itself out. Another text said they suggested that Clint, this is a demotion and not a promotion. Very, very interesting contributions. So let's get back to it, Mr. Newry. I don't think that this is a good move. And at the very least, the minister responsible must come and explain to us why he was placed there, what he's expected to bring, how he's expected to improve the corporation, and what are the mechanisms that are in place to manage conflicts of interest.
I will ask you this.
Yeah.
I believe Mr. Watson is qualified.
Yeah.
I believe that he can do the role, even though he doesn't have any experience as general manager. Mm. As a broadcaster, I assume that he can have some transferable skills.
Yeah.
He's more than qualified. My concern is that he was doing an adequate job, I assume, as press secretary, right?
Was he? That's another thing that we haven't interrogated. And despite what this article says, mm-hmm. right?
But,
quote, in addition, the weekly cabinet briefings have given reporters regular structured access to ministers, which has resulted in more informed briefings and ended the need for haphazard interviews conducted
that
on the fly.
A plus. He's doing an airman's job as press secretary.
First of all, I don't like it. Second of all, what you're telling me is that he tailored the public's access to ministers
administration wanted.
And information.
So the question is now, if he was doing a
yeoman's job, yeah.
Why remove him, one?
Yeah.
And if he wasn't doing a yeoman's job, what does that say for about his transfer to ZNS?
But I have another interrogation. Doing a yeoman's job for whom? He's doing the government's work very well, but what about the people?
But that's all in the same. The people in the government.
No, it's not. Apparently, the people's money could go into MP's
more
wallet.
Access to the government. What else could they do? You'd never get more access than we have now.
I actually preferred the access that we had earlier because at least
they weren't
tailored responses. And
there's
even now,
prepared responses.
And even now, I think there's a problem that our minister responsible for NIB highlights regularly. Are the press briefings being used to silence ministers and to prevent them from saying things that the OPM or cabinet, other members of cabinet, do not want to be said?
Well, we know that cabinet is a collective responsibility. So the ministers have to speak what's said in cabinet.
Yeah,
you
that's...
No personal view when you're speaking as a minister. You speak on behalf of the cabinet.
Yeah, well, I think that, yeah, perhaps he's doing a great job for the Davis administration, but is doing a great job for the Davis administration the same as doing a great job for the Bahamian people?
But let me segue a bit.
Yeah.
Was ZNS challenged that they needed to remove the acting general manager who was just recently promoted as acting general manager, and that in their desperation of having change, having transformation, that we say, hey, let's seek out the talents and the skills of a Clint Watson, because direly ZNS needs transformation now. Because what is happening now?
Okay, so watch this. What type of transformation does it need, and what is it that Clint is going to bring? Is Clint going to bring a transformation in programming? Are we going to get programming from the 21st century now? Are we going to start seeing things on ZNS from 2010 as opposed to 1989 and 1995?
I assume that he is going to duplicate what he did to his last job and be focused on talk show type thing, concepts, right? And
because his highest qualification is tailoring a political message. Is he being brought to ZNS to better tailor the government's political message? In which case, I will stick with the beige computers.
If what you're suggesting is true, then we as Bohemians should be concerned.
Yes.
It can be true.
I want to ask a question. Where's the press club? It's not that I'm being bitter because I've been on the air for 2.5 years and they haven't had an award yet. It ain't that. It is, how has the press club responded to the Davis administration's gutting of private sector media?
They give an opportunity to Bohemian professionals.
They gutted it. They gutted it, and then they told the rest of us, if you want to talk to real people, fall in line, follow the procedure, pull up your pants, and stop acting like you're too bold and big. That's what they said, in other words. Words that are mine and not theirs. But that's what was said. I would stick with the beige computers. I got a text here, and let's take that last caller. The text is, blessings, Lady Green, and blessings, my beloved CEO. Sorry, call is gone, my beloved CA Nuri. You all are correct. Please don't let Anton and other super diehard PLP supporters continue to call in and gaslight us with intellectual, smooth, sweet skullduggery. The same applies to those super diehard FNM supporters who also call in to gaslight us. Lady Green, what is wrong with these people? When will they realize they were born humans and not PLP or FNM? Thank you, Texter. Anton's contributions, they weren't wildly ridiculous, but I had to let him respond. This is the space. We're trying to find balance in this conversation. We're not attacking Clint. We're not attacking anybody. Another person said, if I were Clint, I would be scared for how the PLP treat their political appointees. Today for me, tomorrow for you.
Just ride your 5 years and be grateful. I find that people just meet one more than 5 years.
I mean, at the beginning, the political culture was fine for you. Don't pull a K. Forbes Smith now. Yeah. You guys, stay tuned. On the next half of the hour, we're going to get right back into it.
Call a call back. I see you calling in now. We're going to be on the next side again.
Yes, yes. We'll be right back. On the clock, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.